Okay, so we are holding on paid tests on the days about 15, about 10, 12 lines on the bottom line begins to review. We've been talking about the denim about honest weights and measures. The last thing we were talking about was the importance of even if you're measuring out a small amount of liquid, I'm sort of 1/36 of a log, you have to make sure that you don't let the liquid foam up so that you're not cheating the guy of the lakeach out of you in a small amount of liquid. So now more denim about that. A person is not even allowed to keep around in his house an underweight or overweight measure. A too small or too large measure. Even if he's not actually using it for measuring.
Right.
There's different. Even if he's only using it as a bucket for urine, he's not using it for measuring out anything, and if he's using it for a disgusting purpose like that, nevertheless, you never know. He might clean it. Somebody else might clean it and end up using it. It's different before we talk about the question, is this something, is this part of the din d'oraisa? The Rambam seems to understand it that way because he says, in principle, it being a din d'oraisa, you think you should get malchus for it, but no, because the lav shein b'maisa. Just having it around is not actually doing a maisa. Whereas the Rashbam over here talks about more that it seems to be a thing that d'rabbanan. You have to be concerned that maybe he might rinse that, he might rinse it out, etc. So the only thing you can do is break it, in other words.
The habit itself
is an issue. The habit itself is an iser. And we talked about at the end yesterday, we talked about this idea that if you say it's daraisa, it means just the having it itself, even you didn't use it for measuring, is already an iser, is already. All right. However, a papa says this only applies in a place where the weights and measures are not stamped with the king's stamp or whatever. So then anybody can make a measure and then claim that it is what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a star or an apha or what have you, and really it's the wrong size. Ababa asra de chasimi, but in a place where they're usually sealed, where they're usually stamped with an official stamp, ila chazi chasim, ila shakal. So there's no problem. If somebody sees that you're using a measurement that doesn't have a stamp on it, he's not going to buy from you in the first place. Therefore, there's no problem with it.
You can own it.
Well, I don't know, attempt to use it, but you can at least have it,
yeah.
Because if you were to attempt to use it, we assume the customer would catch on. And even in a place where they don't stamp them, that still would only apply that you can't have such a thing around only if they're not mahandis. Mahandisi, Rashbam explains, means that they go back and forth. Like they come visit the mamunim, the officials of the king or the basin or whatever, come and visit at random times to check on the weights and the measures. I would have thought when I first looked at this, mahandis is in modern Hebrew, mahandis is an engineer, so maybe it means that they measure them like engineers do, but no, that's apparently not what it means. But if they do come for random inspections, then there's also no problem, because then again, you'll be afraid to use it. You never know. You'll get caught. However, Valoihi, the Gemara says, no. But actually, we don't accept that. We don't accept that point. That's not valid lahalach. Zimni de mikri bein ashmashas or mikri b'shakol. Because it can happen bein ashmashas, meaning Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos.
Right.
Everybody is busy. The mamunim themselves, who are pashtas or Jews, are busy getting ready for Shabbos. The customers themselves are in a hurry, and they may not pay attention. They may not pay attention. So the Rashbam seems to understand it that this applies to both things, even the first part about the stamps. If it's Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmoshes, the guy may not pay attention, may not realize that it's not stamped, and go and buy, and then it turns out he's been cheated. Many other Rishonim say that. I was asking where you were. We're on Pesach on the Bay. There's a couple of lines from the bottom. We were talking about the fact that you're not allowed to have underweight measures. You're not allowed to have under or overweight measures, even if you're not using them for measuring, even if you're using them as a bucket for urine. However, we said there are exceptions. One is, we said if weights and measures are usually stamped with an official seal, so if this one is not stamped, nobody's going to use it. And the other one is that we said if the kings or if the officials come around for random inspections, then it also shouldn't be a problem. You'd be afraid of getting caught. But we're saying v'loihi, that's not so, because it can happen that bein hashmashos, it can happen right before Shabbos, that somebody goes and buys with it. from Rashbam, it seems to imply that both of those things we don't accept, because even the thing about the stamp, it's Erev Shabbos Bein Hashemashos, the guy may not notice that it's not stamped, and then you'll buy with it. Many other Rishonim say, no, the stamps we're not worried about. If the usual thing is that they're stamped, you're allowed to have an unstamped one that's the wrong way around, because nobody is ever going to trust you. But even Erev Shabbos Bein Hashemashos. Only the Mahandasi business, that they come for random inspections, that you can't necessarily expect. They're going to come for random inspections Erev Shabbos before Bein Hashemashos, and therefore that you can't do. That's Takada Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. So if weights and measures have official stamps, you're allowed to have an unstamped one around. That's the wrong size. But if it's not the local minhag to stamp them, then you have no excuse. You can't even say that even though there are inspections every so often, that's not good enough. Because Erev Shabbos Bein Hashemashos, if the local minhag is you don't have any specific stamps on them. Everybody has their own but you still have. You have officials, you have a gardeman, like we learned yesterday or whatever, that come around randomly checking, but that's not good enough to allow you to have it. Because if it happened, Erev Shabbos Bein Hashemashos, then you end up using it and the customer won't realize.
So what do you do then?
So that you have to break, if you have a wrong size one and there's no, and the local minhag is that they're not stamped, you have to break it. You can't
have
it
right. You have to do enough to make another one.
Yes, then break the wrong size one and make another one. Okay, Tanya Nami Hocha, you learn similarly in Ebraisa. Lo Yasha Adam Mida Chasera Yisera B'Set. They say a person is not allowed to keep around an underweight or overweight measure in his house. Ba'afili hi Ovet Shomei Miraglayim, even if he's using it as a bucket for urine. Avo. However, now we're going to talk about, so what are the sizes of rates, what are the sizes of containers, actually, that you can have around? Now, the Gemara talked yesterday about what size rates you can have. Rates, you have to be very careful. Rashbam explained over there, once you get rates that are small, they're easily confused with each other. Therefore, we have only certain specific sizes that you can make. Containers, as the Gemara is going to go to say on over here, containers, it's a little bit easier, at least with smaller containers back there. With smaller containers, it's much easier to tell the difference between one and the other. Therefore, you have a little more leeway, as we'll see, in what sizes you can have, but still, it can't just be any size you choose. You have to do only certain specific sizes. Aval, also who saw, a person can make a container. First, we're going to talk about containers that are used for solids, then we're going to talk about containers that are used for liquids. You can have a saw container, tarkov is trei v'kav, means three kavim, so half a saw. So you're allowed to have a whole saw, you're allowed to have a half a saw. Those are different enough that nobody's going to confuse them. V'kav v'chetzi, you can have a 1.5 kav measure, which is half of the previous one. We'll see soon in the Gemara, you can't have a 2-kav one because that one's too easily confused with one of the other ones. So you can have a kav v'chetzi kav. Let me rephrase that. You have saw tarkov v'chatzi tarkov, a half a tarkov, which is 1.5 kavim. V'kav v'chatzi kav, you can have a 1-kav measure. You can have a half kav measure. V'roiva, you can have a quarter kav, which is the same as a lug, except usually a lug is when you talk about it in terms of liquid. When you're talking about it in terms of solid, you would call it roiva. V'toymen v'chatzi toymen v'uchla. You're also allowed to have a toymen, so the Rashbam gets into a little bit of discussion what a toymen is exactly. Toymen literally means an eighth. So does it mean an eighth of a lug, or does it mean an eighth of a lug, or does it mean an eighth of a calf? So he ends up saying that yes, a toymen over here means an eighth of a calf. So it's half of, given that a roiva, which is the equivalent, which is the salt, which is the measurement equivalent, a revius is a lug. The Rashbam explains that the masculine forms are used for solids and the feminine forms are used for liquids. So revius, like we talk about in terms of Kiddush and Abdullah and whatever, is liquid, therefore we use the feminine form. Right. The masculine form is roiva, meaning a quarter of a cap, meaning one look, meaning the solid equivalent of one bit. That's reva. Okay, put it in reva. I don't know. Roiva also means quarter. Roiva also means quarter. You know what? In Parshas Balak, for example, and in Bilam's Brachas, he says a mispar of roiva Yisrael, and Rashi explains one of the explanations is it means can you even count roiva Yisrael, meaning one quarter of Yisrael? Fine. Roiva here is short for roiva hakav. Means a quarter of a cow. Okay. Anyway, so the Rashbam gets into it. The roiva, that's a different thing. Yeah, the roiva Yehudi means a Jewish quarter. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Fine. But here, roiva. Ha-Yehudi. Yeah, it means the Jewish quarter. Yeah, okay, fine. No, it means, in other words, the roiva of whatever. Okay, fine, this is the same thing. Roiva, fine. No, the word roiva is short for roiva hakav. Okay. That's anyway, fine. Toman, so again, the Rashbam gets into a bit of a discussion over here what Toman is exactly. Is it an eighth of a kav, which would make it half of the previous one, because you have a rovar kav and then you have an eighth of a kav, or is it an eighth of a lug? He concludes that it's an eighth of a kav.
A rovar.
So you have a rovar kav and then you have Toman, which is half of that. No, chati tarkav, a saw consists of six kavim. So a tarkav is three kavim. Chati tarkav is 1.5 kavim. The kav, the chati kav, I meant to print out a table of it before I came here and then I forgot. But that is, okay. You have tarkav, it's three kavim. The chati tarkav is 1.5. The kav and a one kav, the chati kav and a half. So you have, going from, if you go from smaller to larger, then you have a half calf, a calf, a 1.5 calf, a 3 calf, and a 6 calf. Those are the ones you're allowed to.
Can you put that in big
gold? It is, because, I mean, it's basically,
small, it's
each,
not 12.
Each one, that was how it was. There was six cavim in a saw. That's how it was. There were six cavim in a saw. Given that you can't divide six evenly down by half, so eventually, so you have, you start going down by halves from 6 to 3, from 3 to 1.5. After that, kind of, you start a new system. A kav is considered a measure of its own, and then you have a half a kav, a quarter a kav, an eighth of a kav, etc.
It's still on a system.
That's the system they had. About
they
it.
Never took the decimal system.
They had a decimal system for certain purposes, and Asira Sa'efa, a Shira Omer, a tenth of an eighth. Fine, they didn't apply it across the board. In general, no, they didn't use a decimal system. The Pashtus, I guess, because numbers that were like 6 and 4, whatever, are easier to divide by. I don't know. You look at
when we had 12.
Look at the old English system, right? They had 12 pence to the 12 pence to the shilling and 20 shillings to the pound. Yeah. So okay. All right. You know what? And the American system of measurements that we use is not a whole lot more logical either. 16 ounces to the pound, 12 inches to the foot. You know, the metric system is more rational. Let's go on. Okay. So you're allowed to, you can have a kav, a half a kav, a roiva, which is a quarter of a kav, the toimen, an eighth of a kav, the chasi toimen, and half of a toimen, so therefore you're now down to 1/16 of a kav, the uchla, and you can have an uchla. The kama here uchla, what is an uchla? Echad mechamisha berevia, it's 1/5 of a roiva. So in other words, you have the roiva kav that we mentioned before, and uchla is 1/5 of that, namely 1/20 of a kav. So we'll see. The Gemara is going to ask, is 1/16 and 1/20 are fairly close together? Why are you allowed to have them? And that's the answer that we're going to have. It's small things like that people are able to tell apart.
16/20.
We'll see. You'll see soon. Okay.
Because it's not a weight. It's a
measuring cup. No. For the weight, you would have a problem. There's no guesstimate. Here we're talking about measuring cups. Measuring cup. You'll see soon. The Gemara will explain that too. Okay. All right, I should mention, I mean, again, there are different girsahs over here. There's another girsah that an uchla is 1/8 of a revia, in which case you have to have a different definition of what toimen is before. Okay, anyway. Fine. What about when it comes to liquid measures, to containers for liquid? What sizes are you allowed to have? You can have a hin, which is 12 logim. So a hin basically corresponds in liquid measure to a calf that we had before.
How many fluid ounces are in?
It's roughly a gallon, maybe a little more than that. A hin consists of 12 lugim. A lug consists of somewhere between 12 and 16 ounces, depending whether you take the Rav Chaim Noz or the Chazon Ish Shita. So a hin is 12 of those. So you're talking somewhere about a gallon and a quarter, a gallon and a half, roughly. So you have a hin, a chatzi hin. You can have a quarter hin, which is 6 lugim. Ushlishis a hin, a third of a hin. Or revias a hin, and a quarter of a hin. So a half a hin then would be 6 logim, a third of a hin is 4, a quarter of a hin is 3 logim. The Gemara is going to ask soon, those are very similar, why aren't we worried that those will be confused? Wait. The lug, then you can have a lug, so you go down from 3 logim to 1 lug, you don't have a 2 lug measurement, but you have, so, and then you have a single lug, the chatzi lug, quarter lug, or revias, or shminis, you can have a quarter lug, an eighth of a lug, the echad mishmoina b'shminis, and you can have all the way down to 1/64 of a lug, the zer kurto. This is the measurement that's mentioned in many places in Shas called the kurto. We have in the Mishnayos for a yartzeit, for example, we're not going to say a kurto, kurto kolo, for example. So a kurto doesn't just mean a mashahu, it actually is a defined measurement, 1/64 of a lug. Again, if we take a lug as being somewhere around 12, if we take a lug as being somewhere around 12 ounces, then 1/64 of that, so you're talking something like you're talking less than a quarter of an ounce. But it's still, it's a measurement. Okay. So, now, Okay, so we have this braisa that gives the actual measurements you're allowed to have. Now let's analyze it. Why are you not allowed to make a 2-kav measure? Why are we saying you have a 3-kav measure, a tarkav, and then you go down to a chatzi tarkav, 1.5? Why not have a 2-kav measure? The answer is osi lechlufu b'tarkav. The problem with that is people may too easily confuse that with a tarkav, which consists of 3-kavim. The person is going to come to the store. He's going to want to buy a tarkav of wheat or whatever it is. You're going to measure out for him with the kabayim measurement, and he's not going to notice the difference, and then he's going to get cheated. Hold on. We'll get to that. Okay, so let's see. In that case, alma tor in shitilta. Okay, if we're going to say like that, it means that you can assume people might make a mistake by as much as a third. Like this, you have something which was supposed to be 3 kavim, and instead you're selling them 2 kavim, and we're saying they may not notice the difference. The implication is that a person may make a mistake by up to 1/3. Then the question is, then in that case, why should you be able to make a 1 kav? Won't it be confused with the 1.5? You'll have the same problem. 1 to 1.5 is the same ratio as 2 to 3.
Right. 1 to 1.
And yet we said that you can have a 1.5 and you can have a 1.
1 to 1.5.
1 to 1.5 is the same ratio as 2 to 3. Yeah. No. So we can't say that. So no, we have to say differently. What's the reason you're not allowed to have a 2-kav measure? Deloy of it, why you're not allowed to make it? No, the reason is because you may confuse the 2-kav with the half a tarkav, the 1.5. So the 1.5 and the 2 may be confused. Same problem, in other words. You have a person as you come, say, or here you can talk about, let's say, when you're selling to someone. You're offering to sell somebody, let's say, 2 kav of wheat or whatever, or to buy from him rather. You're gonna say that you're buying from him 1.5 kav. You're gonna take out your kabayim measure, which he's with, and he's gonna confuse it with the 1.5 and fill it up for you, and then you've cheated him by taking extra. Alma toy inish river. Okay, if we understand it that way, it means that we can assume a person might make a mistake by up to a quarter. 1.5 to 2 is a ratio of 3 to 4, in other words.
So now, since we can use a third, so we say
the error would be a quarter instead. A third is too much. We can't assume a person will make a mistake by a third. If he did, we wouldn't be allowed to have a cab as well as a cab and a half. The fact that we see that we do means that's too large a margin. Nobody's going to make a mistake on that. But a person might make a mistake between 1.5 and 2, let's say.
A quarter is very close to a third.
It's close, but it's still a smaller amount.
Why couldn't we have 2?
We just said you can't have a 2-kav measure because then it'll be confused with the 1.5-kav measure.
Oh, that's 1.5 to the 2,
yeah,
not the 2 to the 3,
right.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Alma toy inish river, which implies that a person may make a mistake by up to 25%. Well, ihochi chatzi toymen v'uchlo lo yelevet. So why were we saying before you're allowed to make a half toymen measurement, which we said a half toymen is a quarter of a lug? And we said you can have an uchla, which is, we said, a fifth of a log, a quarter and a fifth are very close together.
They're closer, actually. Than,
yeah.
Than a,
that's the question.
Right.
That's the question.
Closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The answer is, Omer Papa, midis ktanis bikiyu bihu unchi. Because when it comes to small measurements, people are more familiar with them.
Well, then
because it's smaller, it's easier for a person. You can see there's a more visible difference between one small one and another small one, especially some of the Mefarshim say, the vort is, the large ones are mainly used in stores and commerce or whatever. A person may not be familiar with them on a day-to-day basis. The small ones, think of like a teaspoon, a tablespoon or whatever, you're familiar with them around your own kitchen. So therefore, people are more likely to be able to tell that small difference between a chatzi toymen and an osa. So therefore, there's less of a concern about it. Okay, now let's go to the liquid. So you're allowed to have that's why we said you're allowed to have a chatzi toymen and an ukhla. We're not concerned that you're going to use those cheap because we expect the customer will be familiar enough with small ones like that and be able to tell the difference.
I would have expected another upside. I would have said there's no reason to cheat with such small quantities.
Yeah, but that's what we said yesterday, that even to be martiyah for a masura, you're not allowed to.
So why don't we have to give the same answer here?
Because the point is, you're not allowed to. Even we said less than a shot of prota, the Torah is still makbid on it. Evidently, there would be somebody who would try to get an edge like that by being martiyach on a masura over there. The same thing. You might conceivably have somebody who would try to. Yeah, you might. Yeah, you might have somebody. Yeah, the 9/10 of a cent.
Well,
they have it. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then he has to give you more.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. Now let's go to the liquid measurement. We said that among the liquid measurements you're allowed to have, you can have shlishi sahin, which is 4 logim, and revia sahin and 3 logim. So the question is why? Those also low leaven, you shouldn't be able to make those. Aren't
why
those?
We just
said that people may make a mistake between 3 and 4. And that's why you can't have a 1.5 and a 2 with something solid.
Yeah.
So because people can make a mistake by up to 25%. Wouldn't you have the same problem with a 3 versus 4 log measure? The guy is gonna come saying, I wanna buy 4 logim of wine. You're gonna use the 3 log one to measure out for him, and he's gonna get cheated by 25%, and he's not gonna notice the difference. The answer is kibbin dehavu b'mikdash like gozer b'hur rabbanon. True, but they had these measurements in the b'mikdash. Namely, we know that for the nesachim, they had to have the nesachim for different animals of different sizes. For a par, it's a half a hin, which is 6 logim. For an aisle, for a ram, it's of wine. Yeah. So for
yain kenisker.
Yain kenisker. Yeah.
Yain kenisker means how much?
Means the according to the appropriate amount. The Torah says. That's the Torah. I'm saying what the Torah says. The Torah tells us in Parshas Shlach when it comes to private korbanos and in Parshas Pinchas when it comes to public korbanos that the amount is that we have it in the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, for example, a half a hin, which is 6 log for an ox. Or shlishi sahin la'ayel, a third of a hin, which is 4 logim, for an ayel, for a ram, or a viya sahin, and a quarter of a hin, which is 3 logim, for a kebis, for a sheep.
A hin is 12?
A hin is 12. So a half of it is 6, a quarter of it, a third of it is 4, a quarter of it is 3. Those are the amounts, 6, 4, and 3. So they have. Now, the Rashbam points out that actually, we learned Shnosses Toyer Behin, that actually what they had in the Mishnah, they had a one big hidden container and they had markings in it to show. You pour up to here for a keves, up to here for an aisle, and so forth. But the point is, they had that kind of thing. They had, and actually, there's actually a machloikas on that in the Mishnah in Menachos. You have one opinion that it was like that, but they had one keli with markings in it. The other opinion, which is actually how the Rambam brings up halacha, is they had separate kelim. They had one for the half hin, 6 logim, one for the third of the hin, one for the quarter of a hin. So since they had such kelim in the Beis Mikdash, the Chachamim are not going to be gozer that private people shouldn't use such kelim. Okay, so the question is, the Mikdash nami ligzer, adarabah, why don't we make gzera that you shouldn't have such kelim in the Beis Mikdash? Either going to need, no, so that's what Tosfos says, either going to need them for the Nesachim. You don't. You use an individual lug container. You use a one lug cup. You fill it up 6 times for the pyre, 4 times for the aisle, 3 times for the kebis, and have done with it. But no, we see you didn't. So why wouldn't they go there in the Beis Mikdash? The answer is Kohanim is risen, because the Kohanim are zoris, they're very careful, they're careful in what they do, and they're well, Zerizim means both, but it means, in other words, alacrity is the technical word for it in English. It means like being fast, quick but accurate. I mean, quick. They do the job as quickly as possible. So therefore, they're not going to confuse the Shlishi Sahin and the Nevi Sahin. Given that you have that in the business, the Chachamim didn't feel they have the authority to ask them for the general public.
But the Kohanim do it every day. They used to use measurements every day.
That's the point. Kohanim's risen. And nevertheless, though, we're saying since such a thing exists in the Beis Mikdash, then the Chachamim are not going to ask them for the general public. Okay. All right. You're not allowed to add more than 1/6 to the measurement. Namely, you can have like this, for example. So we talked about just now, you have the different measurements that interlock together. You have a saw, which contains 6 kavim, which the kav contains, the kav contains 4 logim, and the log contains however many basim, whatever, etc. What if at some point, and think of it in our system, you have pounds and you have ounces, etc. It can happen at some point that the people of a city or the people of an area or whatever, or the government, decides we want to enlarge the measurements. We want to say, for example, we're going to have a new definition for the saw, which is going to be larger or smaller than it was before, and all the other measurements will go along with it. You'll still have 6 kavim to the saw, but up until now a kav was, let's say, 3 pounds, and now we're going to say a kav consists of 3.2 pounds, let's say, and everything is going to go up and down proportionally. You're not allowed to make that change more than 1/6. We'll see in the Gemara soon that the 1/6 means milabar. It means, in other words, actually what we would call 20%, what we would call 1/5. It means the change can only be up to 1/6 of the total thing. Previously, for example, a certain measurement consisted of 5 pounds, and you want to rename it, and you're allowed to only if the new one is not more than 6 pounds. and then still call it a star or a cab or whatever.
You keep renaming it until it becomes much bigger.
From eventually, once it settles in, then yeah, you could later on. Just, we find actually there's a number of places in shafts where we talk about that's what happened. In fact, the measurements that we usually talk about in most of shafts are called midbarius. Those are the measurements that we use in the midbar when the Torah was originally given. Eventually, at some point, Taka, they enlarged them by 20%, and those became what's called midis Yerushalmius. Apparently, sometime when they were in Yerushalayim, so probably sometime in the time of the first Beis Mikdash. Eventually, that what. Then not Surius, but later we have Midas Sipodius. Later on, when they were in Sipodi, I guess after the second Korban, then they enlarged them yet again, and so
it's a long gap.
So it is by that you have a gap now. It's a gap of about 1 to 1.4 from Midvarius to Sipodius. Yeah, that's
just
we're talking
going up again.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not allowed to, when he makes it a change, you're not allowed to make it more than 1/6, 20%. Below Alamat Beya Yosemishtus. Also, if you're going to increase the size or the weight of the coins, you're also not allowed to increase it by more than 1/6. And a third din is that if a person is making profit on what he's selling, and we'll see tomorrow in the Gemara that we're not just talking across the board, we're talking only certain kinds of commodities, you shouldn't make profit of more than 1/6.
1/6 is 1 out of 5?
So 1/6, usually, most of the time in shafts, when we use proportion, when we use fractions like that, it usually means, to put it in modern terms, you'd have to subtract 1 from the denominator. 1/6 is what we would call 1/5. The Gemara calls it 1/6 because 1/6 is the total. If you had originally it was 100 and now it's 120, for example, then the extra 20 is 1/6 of the new total.
1/6 is 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 6?
So it's 1 out of 6 of the new total. It's 1 out of 5 of the original amount.
It's 20%.
Again, just like we've always talked about a chomish. Yeah.
A chomish is
25%. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's 1/6.
That's what I'm saying. So 1/6 of the total. Now you have a new measurement which consists of, let's say, 120 ounces, where the old one consisted of 100 ounces. That's a difference of, in modern terms, you would say you added 20%. You added 1/5. In Gemara terminology, you say you'd add 1/6, because now the total, the original amount was 5/6 of what it is now.
It's called milabat. 1/3.
Yeah, yeah, and the same thing same thing in general. Yeah. We've learned before about chomesh, for example. Chomesh is 25%, not 20% of 7. I don't know. Okay. When we say ein mesifin al amidis yosim mishtus, so let's start with the first din that you're not allowed to increase the measurements more than 1/6. The question is, my timer, why not? Ilema mishum afkoi tara. Is it that the problem is that then there's going to be a rise in prices? Namely, in other words, the Rashbam explains, in other words, like this: when people bring grain or whatever to market, they're going to see the measurements have now gone up. They're going to raise their prices, and they may raise the prices by more than proportional to the amount. But they should be raising their prices only 20% to compensate for they might not. They might jack it up by 25, 30, or whatever percent. The Yad Ramah has a different explanation of it than the Rimigash, somewhat similarly also. They explain that what it means is fakir, that that people may be discouraged from bringing their stuff to market because, like, now the measurements are bigger, it's confusing, we don't know how much to bring or whatever, so therefore there's going to be less available in the market, less supply, higher prices. Is that the reason? Well, then shtrus nami loy, then in that case you shouldn't even be allowed to increase it by as much as 1/6. That would be the same problem if you had a smaller amount also.
So it's not that.
Are you going to say the problem is because in case there's ayna, you don't want that there should be bitul mekach. You don't want that the ayna should reach a point where, as we've learned in Bava Metzia and the dinim of ayna, that you'll have a shtus, where the difference is 1/6, and 1/6 we're talking about over here, that the customer will be entitled to cancel the whole sale. Well, Ba'amar Rava, but you don't even need that. Rava says, Kol Dava Shav Midah V'Shav Mishka V'Shav Minyan, anything that involves measuring or weighing or counting, Afil Pachat Mikadei Einah Chayzer, even if it's less than the amount of Einah, you can go back. In other words, when we say Einah, is, for example, we're talking about the price of thing. You have, for example, a bushel of wheat. It's supposed to sell for $10. The guy sold it to you for more than that. So it depends. If he sold it to you for $11, we say you're merciful on the extra dollar. He sold it to you for $12, then we say you're entitled to a refund. You can't undo the sale, but you're entitled to a refund of the $2. If he charged you more than $12, then you're allowed to cancel the whole thing. But if, let's say, for example, the deal was that you're buying 100 pounds of potatoes, and the guy sold you 99, that's not a difference of, that's not a difference anywhere close to enough. Nevertheless, closer, because there's a difference between a difference in prices where, okay, prices vary a little bit from here to there versus an objective thing like that. It's supposed to be 100 and it's only 99.
But then any difference in price is really a difference in quantity.
No, because again, you can have that 100 pounds of potatoes are supposed to cost $100, and instead the guy charged you 110 or 120 or 130 or whatever, versus it's supposed to be 100 pounds of potatoes, and the guy sold you 99 pounds of potatoes. It's sort of like a mechafos, right? Mind you, though, most of the Rishonim say, when we say chozer over here, doesn't strictly speaking mean the whole sale is void. What it means is the seller is going to be responsible to either refund you the difference or give you the extra amount, give you the extra pound, or refund you the dollar, as the case may be. Unless something that I'm talking about, for example, if it's something where that can't easily be done. Imagine, for example, you buy a house, which is supposed to be such and such square footage, and instead it turns out it's less than that, you can't very well rebuild the house to add it, then we would say, Jose, you can undo the whole thing. Yeah, come on. Okay. So again, why are we saying Dafka that you can add by up to 20%? If you're worried about Bittul Nechach, what's going to happen? So you're going to have that somebody is going to say that you're going to have then, for example, that somebody comes to town to sell his wares. You're going to be using the larger saw. He's going to be using still the smaller one, the original one. Mm-hmm. You're going to be paying him. You're going to be measuring out different amounts. That's Nechach Tov. That has nothing to do with it, no. So it should be also even if it's less than 20%. Okay, so you're going to argue, you know what's the reason? Because given Shmuel's third din, where he says that when you're making a profit, your profit is not supposed to be more than a shtus, also more than 20%, maybe the problem is because if you increase the rates or the value of the coinage by more than 20%, you're going to cause him a loss. It's going to wipe out his profit. Yeah, the problem with that is that we're going to talk about, if we may get to it today, more likely we'll get to it tomorrow, which commodities that did apply to. I should also mention, I mean, we'll talk about it more then, but Shulchan Aruch talks about there's a few exceptions to that. First of all, if most of the merchants in town, whether they're Jews or Goyim, don't follow that, you are not obligated to follow that. We don't expect you to sell at a lower price because of that. In a place where Beis Din has power, they're in a place, we talked yesterday, right, that if people are jacking up the prices, Beis Din is responsible for doing something about it, hitting them. Okay, well, that's the same thing. It's jacking up the prices. In other words, you're trying to make a bigger profit. But besides that, also it applies to certain foods. It applies to just things that are considered basic necessities. We'll get there.
But if you buy food or anything else cheaper than 20% of the price, is that the case? Is it a small piece that you can sell it for 100%?
Yeah, that's right. Again. There are exceptions there, we'll get to it. It also, the Shulchan Aruch talks about, that, for example, you're entitled, you don't have to count towards that 20%. You're also entitled to a certain amount of profit just for the fact that you're working on it. You know, we're talking 20% profit beyond what, no, not just the cost of goods, the cost of labor. The cost of labor, the cost of service. No, besides that, you consider the cost of your goods. You consider the cost of your labor and your services and whatnot. You're not allowed to go more than 20% beyond all that. That's the point, in other words. It can be 30% above what you actually paid for it. But that 10% represents your labor and whatever. Okay. Anyway. So the argument is, the Gemara is saying, maybe the reason why you're not allowed to increase the measurements or the currency by more than 20% is that it'll wipe out the merchant's profit. The problem with that is, fine, so what are you going to do? So you're going to make him break exactly even? He's not going to lose, but he's not going to gain either. Zavin v'zavin tagri ikri. What is it? If you buy and sell for the same price, can you be called a merchant? A person has to make a profit. You're not a merchant if you're not making a profit. This is a famous thing that's always talked about Siddur, by the way, that the Eivishter is kind of a merchant and who invested into our world, and he expects a profit out of it.
What's his profit?
His profit is the mitzvahs that we do. Okay.
I hope he doesn't buy and sell at the same price.
Yes. Ela Amar Rav Chisda. No, Rav Chisda says, no, we can't use any of the reasons that we said. Rather, the reason is Shmuel Kra Ashkach V'Dorash. Shmuel found a pasuk that teaches us this idea about 20%. And given that, he has a basis for saying that you can do up to 20%, because the pasuk says so, but not more than that. namely a margin of 20%. And how? If a pasuk from Yechezkel, Yechezkel is describing over there how things are going to be lost in Lavoi, but some of the things he says are only lost in Lavoi, some of them apply nowadays as well. He says like this: the shekel estrim geva. The shekel consists of 20 geva, which is the same as it is in the Torah. But mach the shekel, but estrim geva, yeah. Esrim shkolim, chamisha ve'esrim shkolim, asor v'chamisha shotel, hamona yielochem. A mona shall consist of as follows: 20 shekel, 25 shekel, and 15 shekel. If you add those together, 20, 25, and 15, the total was 60. Meaning that the mona consists of 60 shekel.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're gonna get on Amud Beis and figure out how that proves anything that we're saying, but just as a side thing, why is he saying it in such an odd way? Why does he just say straight out a mona consists of 60 shekel? There's a few explanations. The Rashbam says there may have been places where in some places a mona was valued at 15 shekel, in some places 20, in some places 25. So Yechezkel says, you know what? All of you are right. You add all of those together and you have what should really be a mona. Yeah. That's one explanation. There's others. The Tosfos brings another explanation over here that what it means is those are the different sub-denominations of a mona. A mona is a large kind of is a large coin or a large weight or whatever. Those are the standard divisions of it that people would make. A piece of 25 shekel, a piece of 20 shekel, a piece of 15 shekel, and that way they could weigh out fractions of a mona. And Tosfos also says an interesting thing. Tosfos also mentions an interesting remez of it, that it corresponds to Birkas Kohanim, which is especially appropriate. Yechezkel himself is a Kohanim. Birkas Kohanim has 60 letters in it, like the 60 shekel in a mona. And how is it divided up? 15 letters in Yivarach HaShem Yishmeracha, 20 in Yer HaShem Panav Elach V'Panekah, 25 in Yisra HaShem Panav Elach V'Yachim HaSholim. Therefore, he mentions those three figures totaling the 60.
Who is this?
The Tosfos says this at the end, Rabbeinu Meshulam. The implication is, because Yechezkel is talking about the shkolim, which is relevant as far as mach the shekel, we get a bracha from giving the shekel, from giving the mach the shekel, and otherwise donating to this mitzvah, similar to the bracha of Birkas Kohanim. Therefore, Yechezkel uses that concept. Anyway.
From both sides, they're giving this, like, that's the shot.
Yeah. Okay. So now we have to ask like this. Mona mosen va bon habu. It's a question. Mona mosen va bon habu. What are you talking about? So we're saying over here that a mona consists of 60 shekel. A shekel is what the Torah calls a shekel is what the Chachamim call a sela. A sela consists of 4 dinarim. So that would mean 60 times 4 is 240. It would mean that a mona consists of 240 dinars. We know it's a commonplace thing throughout Shas that a mona consists of 100 dinars. Where did the extra 140 come from? El shma min aplas. So therefore, based on this pasuk, there are 3 dinim that we can learn. Number 1, shma min amona shakodesh kofel haya. Number 1, a mona that was used by hektish is double the usual size. So a usual mona, a regular standard mona that everybody used, consists of 100 dinar, which is 25 shekel. The one of hektish was double that size, and therefore consisted of 50 shekel. Number 2, we learn from that you're allowed to increase the measurements, but not more than 1/6, because that's what Yechezkel is telling them. This that you knew for up until now that mona consists of 100 shekel and 100 dinar, rather 100 dinar, 25 shekel, and the one of hektish is double that, you should know now we chachamim of our time have decided that we're going to increase that by a shtus. So therefore, it's going to go from 50 to 60. Actually, Tosfos on Amud Aleph talks about a little bit differently. You have throughout Shas, we also know that a sela consists of 24 dinarim. It consists of 24 ma, rather I should say. A sela consists of 24 ma. Ma is the same as the geira that we said over there. We said a shekel consists of 20 geira throughout Shas. It's a commonplace thing that a sela consists of 24 geira. Geira, ma, or whatever. So Tosfos explains back the point. You know, they increase the size of the shekel, and therefore what Yechezkel is telling them like this. Up until now, you had a shekel that consisted of 20 geira. We've decided now the shekel is going up, and now it's going to be 24 geira. So a new mona consists of 50 of these new shkolim, which is the equivalent of 60 of the old ones. So in other words, the mona is not increasing in size, but the shekel is. And the third thing we learn from these psukim is that the shtus means, like we were saying, 20% rather than 16%, because otherwise, to go from 200 to 240 is exactly that. That's 20%. Yeah. Which, by the way, the Rimi Gash explains, that's the point. You see also from that pasuk, why did they go to such an odd number of 240? Why not round it off and say 250? Because you can't go beyond the six. There you go. So that proves the point. The Shmuel is saying you can't go beyond the six. We see that from these two.
That's the Raisa.
The Raisa, not necessarily, but it's Yechezkel telling us that day. So therefore, that's that. So for them, the rules.
This was when that they changed the media.
So Yechezkel is talking after the Churban by attrition. So apparently, sometime during that period, during Golos Babel, is when they increased the size. Could be because of inflation. I don't know. All right. Getting back to now, we said on Amud Aleph that there's certain size measuring containers you're allowed to have, and only those, because we said we don't want to confuse one for the other. So Rav Papa Bar Shmuel takin kaila bar tlosa kapid. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel one time was masakin. He came up with a measurement of 3 kapizi. A kapiza, Rashbam says, is 3/4 of a cow. So therefore, 3 kapizi comes out to 3 kapizi would come out to therefore to nine lugim, 1 to 9 lugim, 2 and 1/4 cap.
Nine quarters,
which is 2 and 2/4. So they ask him, what about what Shmuel said that you're not supposed to increase the measures by more than 1/6? So like this is you're taking a chatzit tavka, which is 1.5. And which consists of 6 lugim, and you're increasing it to 9. That's more than Shmuel said you're allowed to. And in fact, the Rashbam says we could have asked from what we said on Amud Aleph that you can't have measurements that are too close together because they'll get confused. We didn't want to do that because the Gemara would rather ask from a beferish statement of Shmuel rather than from the implication of a Braisa. There it's only the implication that you can't have it. Shmuel says clearly you're not allowed to.
Why do we say less than 20%?
It is more than 20%. You're going from 6 to 9.
6 to 9.
From
yeah.
6 to 9, yeah, that's a big difference. The Rashbam brings another explanation, by the way, that a kapiza is the same as a lug, and therefore it's a three lug thing. So before we said you can have a 2 lug measurement, which is a half a cab, but now he's making it 3. Okay, anyway, so you're not doing right. Omolahui says to them, no, but I'm not increasing an old measurement. I'm making up a new measurement that there didn't exist anything like it before. Apparently, in his area, they didn't use the cab and a half measurement or whatever, so therefore there's no possibility of mixing anything up. And this isn't taking an old measurement and giving it and using the same name for a larger measurement. This is a whole new thing. There's no possibility of confusion. Well, Shadre le Pumbedisa, he sent a copy of this measurement to Pumbedisa, v'loy kibloa, but they didn't accept it. Even though it's true, they could have theoretically. They weren't using the tarkov or chassi tarkov or whatever. Nevertheless, they didn't consider it a valid thing to use. Shadri le Papunya v'kablua. Then he sent it to the city of Papunya, and they did accept it. From now on, this is one of the measurements we'll use in our text. V'karulei ruz papa, and they gave it a name. They called it ruz papa, which means the ruz means the measurement. The Rashbam says. Then he brings another explanation. There's ruz papa, which means the advice, like the idea of rapapa. The Rashbam says, the secret, the idea, whatever. The Rashbam says he doesn't like that expression, so it's not the Lashon HaGemara, but that's how the Aruch explains it. The Aruch gives 2 explanations of Ruz Papa. That's his first one, that it means the idea of Papa. And the second one is it means the measurement of Papa. Okay. Anyway, I guess the point is also that, first of all, they named it after him, but second of all, also, they gave it a name that this way it won't be confused with any other measurement. In case, at some later date, somebody starts using a Tarkov or half Tarkov or whatever in the city, it'll be clear that it's a very different thing than this Ruz Papa.
What was the point of making?
The point is, he figured that's a practical thing they needed in that time. I don't know.
Imagine that coming over into the.
He was a businessman. He had a lot of money.
That's true.
He sold beer.
No, that's Republic Stam. That's not Republic Bashmore. Okay. Anyway.
Sorry.
All right. So now we have another simon for a bunch of dinim in the Gemara. Simon Otsre Peres Ein Otsrein Vein Metzian Vein Mistakrim Hamayim Vebetin Asriyan Vloy Metzian. This list of things is going to consume the rest of this Amud and the beginning of next Amud, a bunch of different dinim. Yeah, we finished the other list. Now we have a new one. Okay, turn up on them. Oitzrei Peres, people who hoard produce because they want to jack up the prices. They hoard the produce at the beginning of the season, and then later on when there's not much or when there's a famine or whatever, then they will only sell it at inflated prices. That means, in other words, they store it away. They buy up whatever's available, or they buy up whatever's available, and then when there's a shortage, then you have to go to him, and he can charge whatever he wants. That's Oitzri Peres. Umal Vibiribis, people who lend at Ribis, or maktine eifa.
Why just peres? Does drink any?
Peres, because those are necessary for people to live off of. We don't mean peres. We don't mean things like apples and oranges. We peres in Gemara terminology often means things like grain and other basic things like that.
Food or it would be.
Yeah, we're not talking about a person is hoarding pasta, so it doesn't matter. we're talking about things that are necessary. For maktine eifa, people who make the eifa smaller, who are using false weights and measures, like we said before, who mafkiyeh sha'arim, and people who cause the prices to go up because they overcharge. Or aleihen akosav omer, those are the kind of people about whom the pasuk says lemer, that these people type of rishoyim say to themselves, masa yaver achodesh v'nishpura shever, when will the month after the harvest is over be over, v'nashpura shever, and we'll be able to start selling grain. This is machtiyeh sha'arim, because they wait until a month afterwards and then they start charging. They're not oitzer peiros yet. Oitzer peiros, the hoarders would be where they keep it for much longer than that, but still, now that it's after the harvest season, they figure they can now sell it higher prices because there's less available. But Shabbos v'nitzchabar, and they continue. When will Shabbos, or not Shabbos? Rashbam says it means Shmita. When will Shmita come? V'nitzchabar, and we'll open up our storehouses of grain. Those are the Oitzri Peiros. Those are the ones who wait till Shmita, and then they figure there's a shortage. We can sell. We can jack up the prices and sell at high prices.
Jason didn't sell at high.
No, he sold it at fair prices, yeah. But that's different. He was doing it to save them from famine.
Yeah.
The pasuk continues, lahak din eifa. These people are looking forward to when they can make the eifa smaller, so that they're using false measures. Or lahagdil shekel, and to make the shekel larger. What does it mean to make the shekel larger? It means you make your money larger by lending at ribbon. No, by lending at ribbon. We just had a list of people who the pasuk is criticizing. So the Rashbam explains, Lahagdil Shekel refers to people who try to increase their number of shkolim by lending at ribbis. Well, Aves Mosne Mirma, and to be unfair with balances and weights that are twisted. Uchtiv, and the pasuk continues, Nishva Hashem v'goyin Yaakov, the Eved swears by the pride of Yaakov, by the greatness of Yaakov, if Eshkach v'nefach kom afeim, that if I will ever forget, if I'll ever forget what they're doing. In other words, the Eidishter holds it deeply against such people. So, Oitzri Peiros Kegoin Man, what's the definition of Oitzri Peiros? I mean, not necessarily everybody who just stores away a little grain is an Oitzri Peiros. What kind of Oitzri Peiros do you mean? Amar Rav Yechonon can Shabse Otzri Peiros. For example, we mean a certain known character of those times, named Shabse the Hoarder. This guy was dafka doing that. He would dafka hoard away as much possible grain in order that later on he can sell it to the poor people at higher prices. And Rashbam explains, in other words, if, for example, if he's hoarding them at a time when it's cheap, and later on he sells it at the original cheap price, that's fine. It does cause a little bit of a rise in prices, because the fact is you have less supply. But nevertheless, he is doing it for a good purpose, and therefore
it's selling cheap horses, and then he sells it for less, let's say 15%, not 20%.
That'll be still increasing the price, right? I mean, he originally sold
up to 20%.
No, we're not talking about... You're allowed to make a profit, it's true, but we're talking about here you're making a profit off the back of the poor people. You're dafka hoarding it. The normal thing to do is you sell your grain, fine, you make a profit on it, fine, but not you keep it until there's a shortage when the poor people are desperate for grain and bread and whatever, and then you sell it to them for a higher price. That's the Otsa Peiros we're talking about. By the way, the Gemara tells in Yuma a story about the Shabsi Otsa Peiros. The Gemara tells us that one time, we know that if a pregnant woman on Yom Kippur starts feeling cravings, if it's necessary, you have to feed her, because to her, it may be a danger to maybe the Koach Nefesh for her and the baby. The Gemara says there, first though, what you should do is whisper in her ear that it's Yom Kippur, and see if that calms down the craving. If it does, good. If not, then you start feeding. So the Gemara tells one time it happened. There was a lady in Rebbe's neighborhood, in Tveri or Tipori, wherever it was over there, that this happened. Rebbe tells him, whisper in her ear. Itaka calms down. Rebbe says, I can see that there's going to be, the baby she's carrying is going to be a great person. And it turns out to be Rav Yechonon. Then it happened another time. I think in Rav Yechonon's time.
Same lady.
No, different lady. That's a different lady. Same thing happened. They whispered to her, nothing doing. She still has the cravings. Okay, we got to go ahead and feed her. And Rav Yechonon, or whoever it was, says over there, evidently this kid is has a bit of a Yetzer Hara. And it turns out this is the one, Shabbos Otzri Peiros.
We wore on Yom Kippur.
No, he wasn't born on Yom Kippur. His mother was pregnant with him on Yom Kippur. But the point is that he had a Yetzirah. I mean, like anybody else has a Yetzirah, he could have overcome it. But that meant that he's born with a strong Yetzirah for that.
He had a monopoly on food.
I saw a vort on this from the Vilna Gaon related to the end of last week's parasha. It was the last pasuk of parasha Shmini. He goes, "Lahavdo ben atomei ben atar, or ben achaya hanechelus, or ben achaya shalitah." He says chaya, besides the simple meaning an animal, also means a pregnant woman. No, it also means a pregnant woman, like chaya tinamul kafanda. So it means, how can you tell ben atomei ben atar? You see, is the chaya nechelus? Is she someone who has to eat, or ben achaya shalitah, or the chaya who does not have to eat? That's how you can tell between the Talmud and the Torah. And therefore, the pasuk next continues. Each of the says, really, all those are.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, last week's parasha in the beginning of this one. Yeah. Okay. So, in connection, continuing on this topic of hoarding Peiros, Avur de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, used to do like this. Maz bin lula peiri, petara charfa, ketara charfa. What he would do is, he would sell. Now you have usually for grain and other things like that, you usually have two different types of prices during the year. You have one during the harvest or at the very end of it, like when everybody's barns are full of grain. That's the shachat gerda and it's full. And then you have the time after that, later on during the winter or whatever, when grain is more scarce and therefore prices go up. What he would do is he would sell to begin with, at the beginning of the season, the Shachat Gerdin, he would be selling at the cheapest possible price. This way, the price will be low at that time, and hopefully that way it will stay low. Because usually, once a certain price has been established, it doesn't necessarily change something. Because people are used to it, so therefore they'll still demand that price, etc. So that way it would make things better. That way it'll be cheaper, and that way the poor people will more easily be able to afford it. Shmuel Berei, on the other hand, his son Shmuel, Mashi LePeiri, he did differently. What he would do is he would hold on to the Peiros from his own field. He wouldn't sell them right away at the beginning of the season. He would hold on to them, Umazbin Lahu Batara Afla Katara Kharfa. Then later on, during the off season, during the time when prices usually are higher, then he would open up his granaries and sell it at the original cheap price.
Making
a little bit of a profit, in other words, but basically the original cheap price that it would have been 6 months ago, as opposed to the current price, which is higher. Now, so the Rashbam explains, he didn't go and buy grain from the market to do that, because that reduces the supply. That was the purpose. But he used the grain from his own property, from his own field, to do that. However, Shochu Mitam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Tova de Abba Midibra. You should know, after all, though, what the father did, what Avur de Shmuel did, is better than what the son is doing. My time, Atara de Rabach Rabach, because once the prices are low, then they stay low. Meaning, in other words, like this, what is Shmuel doing? He's saying, at a time when the prices have already gone up because the supply is low, then I'm going to start selling cheaply, and that way it'll reduce the price. Still, though, once the prices are high, they don't necessarily go down low that fast. Fine, one person is selling it at a low price. Not necessarily is everybody going to go match it. As opposed to Avur de Shmuel, makes sure to begin with that the prices stay low, and therefore that's better. Because he sold l'hachila, he sold his grain at the cheap price at the beginning, and that way, once a cheap price is established, it tends to remain that way for a long time. It's much harder to lower prices after they're raised than to raise prices after they're lowered. Right. Amar Rav, oisa odem es kavay oisa. A person is allowed to take his own kav, meaning the produce from his own field. He's allowed to make that into an oitzer. He's allowed to store that away. The issur that we're talking about of oitzer peiros is when you go and buy from the marketplace, you try to corner the market, so you'll have it all, and then later on you can sell it at higher prices. But if you're taking your own produce from your own field and storing it away for another time, that you're allowed to do.
If you represent, you're a farmer, you represent 60% of the local market.
We're talking about you represent some... No, that means es kavo, the Russian kav means a little amount. Oisim ach and nosim la'akadosh baruch hu, the Rashbam's expression. The little amount that the Eivishter gave him. The issue is that the issue is that you're to buy from the marketplace in order to corner the market.
If he's
a small percentage of the market. That's what we're talking about under the normal circumstances. We're not talking about Archer Daniels Midland. Okay, we're talking about a little small farmer over here. We're talking about where he represents 1%, 0.5% or whatever of the market. Him taking his grain out of circulation is not going to significantly affect the price. He allowed it. Well, that you would think that maybe not.
Why not?
Because you would think that maybe every little bit makes a difference. We learned similarly in Brisa. Ein otrin peiros, dvarim sheyesh ben chayim nefesh. You're not allowed to hoard peiros, things that are needed for basic life. Because in yenis shmonim uslosis, for example, wine. So here we're going to start talking about what kind of commodities that we talk about. And tomorrow we'll also talk about how this is relevant as far as the dinim of prophets. Because in yenis shmonim uslosis, for example, wine and oil and flour. Aval tavlin, but for example, spices, which are a luxury, kamen or pilpulin, like cumin or pepper, mutter, those you're allowed to store away. We're not worried about if the price of those goes up. The poor people don't particularly need those.
Uh-huh.
When is all this talking about? If you're buying it in the market and you're going to either corner the market completely or at least reduce the supply, and therefore prices are going to go up, that's the problem. But if you're keeping your own, you're storing away your own, and like we just said, that's what Rav was saying, you're allowed to store away your own cap, your own small amount. That's mutter. Umutul adam left to pay us Eretz Yisrael gimel shanim. Now, a person is allowed in Eretz Yisrael to store peyrus for 3 years. Which 3 years? Erev Shviyas or Shviyas or Matzoy Shviyas? Namely, the 6th year, Shemitah, and the 8th year. The point of it is, because during Shemitah, there's nothing being planted, nothing being grown. You do your harvest in the 6th year, and the Torah actually promises in Parshas Bahar that if you keep Shemitah, the Eibishter will make the produce of the 6th year stretch out for 3 years. So you store it away in the 6th year, you use it, and you use it, and you're able to sell some of it you're able to use it for your own household, and you're able to sell it to other people during Shemitah and during the 8th year, because again, you plant the crops in the middle of the 8th year, until the beginning of the 9th year before they're ready. So you're allowed to store before Shemitah, you're allowed to store 3 years' worth, because you need for the 6th, 7th, and 8th. So that you're allowed to do. Over Shnei Batzer, because the Eibishter gives you a bracha, but it's also be stored away, right? The Eibishter gives you a bracha, the fat amount that grows in the 6th year will suffice for 3 years. The point is, you have to store it away. Otherwise, you're saying in normal years, you're not allowed to store away from one year to the next year in order, because that'll. But Shemitah, you're allowed. Same thing. In fact, the Rashi points out that sometimes, when it comes to Shemitah and then following Yovel, you have 4 years like that. You have the 6th year, Shemitah, Yovel, and then the following year. Two more lines, and then we'll end. Over Shnei Batzeres, however, in a year of drought, Afilu Kav Charuvin Lo Yetzer. You shouldn't even store away a calf of carobs. Because it causes a curse in the market. So since it's a year of drought, everything is in short supply. Even a small difference in what's available is going to make a big difference. And Amalei Rav Yosi b'Chanina l'Puga Shamei. In fact, Rav Yosi. It's not really. Relax. Abraham Moshe. Let me finish the two lines. Excuse me. I could have been finished by now if you hadn't been doing it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Amalei Rav Yosi b'Chanina l'Puga Shamei. Rav Yosi b'Chanina says to his servant Puga, Poik also li peiri shalashanim. In fact, he tells him, go store for me peiris for 3 years. Erev Shviyas or Shviyas or Matzoy Shviyas. So we see that's the thing of the Bible.